7:09, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And joining me now, I've got a kind of an interesting opportunity. The first time that we are having him on the air, the Chief of Emergency Medical Services in Escambia County, Chief David, although he goes by Dave Torcell, has been here about 6 months. Chief, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News and welcome to Pensacola.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, we have talked many times with Eric Gilmore, your boss, Director of Public Safety, and, of course, his boss, Wes Moran, we talk to every Thursday morning. But I got some information yesterday that I wanted to kind of share with people, and I think you guys want to push this out as well because it's a key piece of information. But in order to understand the significance of what's going on, I want to back up a little bit and talk about just kind of generally where EMS is. I had been looking at the held call numbers over the course of like November and December, and they seemed to be gradually improving. And then late December hit, and everything, pardon the expression, went to hell. Like every day, multiple calls over and over. You had one thing where a manager had to come in and relieve four people who were holding the wall at a hospital, which is, you know, standing there maintaining their patient. And it's been bad. But the reason why is the question. So let's ask you this question. Why has it been bad over the last couple of weeks? Because I think there's a good explanation.
Yeah, there is, actually. You know, in Escambia County, we're a very busy service in EMS. You know, last year we ran over 78,000 calls for service. That's a lot of EMS calls. And, of course, recently we've seen the uptick in COVID. We've, you know, got the Omicron variant, which is not as virulent, but it's more transmissible. So we're seeing more people that are having even mild symptoms that are affected. There's a strain of flu that's going around. So when you compound all of that on top of our call volume, and we are getting calls for service for people that want to simply be tested for COVID or have had a positive test and those types of things, it puts a significant strain on the number of ambulances that we have to respond to calls on top of our daily call volume. You know, certainly we're not immune to COVID. And, you know, we do have staff that are affected by it, which puts us at some staffing shortages above and beyond where we already are. So we've seen that increase. As you said, you know, we were getting so much better with holding less calls. We were seeing multiple days a week where we didn't hold any calls at all. And we can see that, you know, our staffing efforts and our operations efforts have worked. But now we're kind of back down into a little bit of a downslide because of the strain that's been put on our system.
Yeah, so when we're looking at these, you know, we're looking at the numbers, and you clearly see something different was happening in late December. And, you know, we talked to Wes about this. It seemed like there were kind of several causes. You know, one is obviously people are, you know, trying to be off for holidays. Another is just, you know, that itself makes problems. But another one is with the Omicron spike and the number of cases rising and all of that. And so you have kind of a compounding of challenges and people being out because they're on isolation after they've tested positive or whatever, so they can't work. But you said something in the middle of your comments, and I just want to make sure that I understood you correctly. Did I hear you say that people are calling for ambulances, they're calling 911 because they tested positive and also just because they want to get tested? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, sir, that's correct. You know, we have a regular meeting weekly with our hospital partners, with our emergency management team, with the public safety director and the Department of Health to discuss this whole process. And one of the things that we experienced when COVID first came out, because it was kind of an unknown at that time, you know, people didn't know what to do. However, over time, you know, we tried to get the word out for them to understand, you know, people that simply because you test positive for COVID does not equate that you need a 911 service or that you need to go to the hospital. If you have very mild or no symptoms at all, the best thing to do is stay home, isolate yourself, and follow CDC guidelines. What we're seeing is whether people just don't have the correct information or people just arbitrarily think that's what they need, we have to dedicate a resource to go to wherever it is they call us to, find out what's going on with them. And in a lot of cases, to find out, they're only simply requesting, hey, I need to go to the hospital because I need to be tested. And even if, you know, we explain to them the process, you know, hospitals aren't the ones doing the testing. There are testing sites. You know, there's no need for you to use an ambulance to go to the hospital to be tested. Or they say, yeah, I'm positive, but they have no or very little symptoms. They still feel that they need to go to the hospital, and they kind of don't know why. And that puts just a tremendous strain on our service, because when somebody calls for service, we still have to go out, commit a resource, take the time, do an evaluation, find out what's going on with the patient. all the while, additional calls are coming into our 911 center that could be for, you know, chest pain, shortness of breath, and things like that. So, yes, unfortunately, we have seen an increase in that. In our recent meeting, we actually had it yesterday. That was one of the points of talk that we had discussed needed to get out there, was we need to get the message out to let people know it's okay not to call 911 simply because you're COVID positive. It's okay not to go to a hospital to be COVID tested or simply because you have a positive or mild symptoms. The hospital's seeing everything that we're seeing. They're short-staffed as well at times because they're susceptible to COVID just like we are. And, you know, they have 6, 8, 10-hour wait times sometimes in their lobby with walk-ins, if you will, that'll show up for a lot of the more minor things that could be handled maybe at a doctor's clinic or at one of the local freestanding ERs or perhaps just making an appointment with their primary care physician. And that would do a tremendous effort in helping us.
Oh, my God. I can't wrap my – I mean, I know people don't understand things, and I know people make mistakes, but I still – there's a part of me that wants to believe that people wouldn't possibly be so misguided that they would call an ambulance to go get tested or call an ambulance because they found out they tested positive but don't have symptoms. But I can only imagine the number of calls if people are doing that in even small numbers, let alone significant numbers, the demand that would put on the system and cause the ripple effects. My goodness. Okay, so clear message. If you test positive, that doesn't mean you call 911. Please, if you have life-threatening symptoms, if you have major medical issues, call 911 by all means, but not just to get a transport, to get a test, or not just because you think that's what you're supposed to do if you tested positive. And by the way, I want to give you credit because, you know, you came on board to an agency that has been very troubled over the entire time I have lived here, 8 years. And, you know, you're working on the staffing. You got, you know, you and Wes worked out a deal with the union, so you got pay raises and another pay raise when we were competing against a neighboring county for employees. I mean, a lot of good stuff is happening, plus equipment coming. Putting all that aside, one of the more interesting stories in the last month or so has been you guys are building a new mass casualty / mass transport vehicle, and I've been calling it an ambus. You call it an ambus or an ambubus?
Yeah, it's an ambubus. It's basically taking the term ambulance and bus and kind of putting them together to make, you know, one term for that type of vehicle.
Very good. And, I think this makes perfect sense. It's an easy, smart thing to do. But to be clear, despite what you might have seen in pictures or maybe heard, the thing is not done yet. You've acquired the school bus, but you haven't actually built it out yet, right?
That's right. We reached out last year, not long after I got here. It's a project we wanted to work on. We reached out to the Escambia County School Board, and we worked with them to get a surplus bus that they had over there. Those folks did great for us. We were able to procure that very quickly to get that approved through our Board of County Commissioners. We've received the bus, went through all the processes to make it basically an asset that belongs to EMS. We've reached out to find out the processes that we need to go through for all the specifics we want on it to basically turn it into an ambu bus. The state donated to us, basically makes it a multi-casualty patient transport. It can transport, depending on how you set it up, anywhere between 15 and 18 patients at one time. That kit was free. It was donated to us. And then
nice.
Some EMS grants that we submitted that we received, we're going to use the grants to retrofit the bus to make it, you know, medically fit for a mass casualty situation or a large patient transfer, whether it's, you know, moving patients to move them during a disaster or, you know, in 2023, Baptist Hospital is planning on relocating to the new hospital. We're going to be assisting them with that to get all of the patients from one building to another.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. And although my first reaction was as a mass casualty response that, you know, just moving patients like in, you know, flood or hurricane from a nursing home, or as you said, moving them when Baptist makes their big move, there's lots of possible applications. Just one real quick clarification, though, not meant to be a command center, not meant to be it's just an ambulance for, like you said, 15 or 20 people.
That's correct. It's for patient, multi-patient transport only. It will not be set up as a command center or anything like that.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to seeing it when it's all done. I'm sure it'll look cool. And, you know, I'm kind of, as a kid who grew up watching MASH, it's kind of neat to see that same basic technology being used in a different environment these days. Well, Dave Torcell, he is the EMS chief for Escambia County. Dave, again, welcome to Pensacola. Welcome to the Pensacola Morning News. You're always welcome here, and keep up the good work. We certainly appreciate the importance of what you're doing. And again, don't call 911 if you test positive if you don't have symptoms, right?
That's right. And thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.